Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are 20 minutes away from Best Bets, side and total for both games coming up today, the Bengals and the Titans, the Packers and the 49ers. We'll talk about giving props, the free-to-play contest, courtesy of the BetQL Network. You could win $2,000 literally by just making correct prop picks, and it's free to enter. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? And thy royal prop king will make thou royal appearance to close the show with prop bets for both of today's games. We will play whatever you prefer coming up in a few minutes here to give you a roadmap, if you will, on how to make good prop decisions if you're going to bet props, and of course, you will on today's games. But Ken, we do have a little house cleaning to do here, housekeeping to do, since we did not get to the two team 6-point teaser variety in hour number one. So let's do that here for a minute or two. I actually don't love the two team options here for the teasers this weekend. If you had to play one, and we talked about in hour number one how these are efficient markets, teasers could be a good way to kind of play these efficient markets. If you had to play a two team 6-pointer, what would it be and why?
I think there are a couple options that make a little bit of sense, and you're right. One of the reasons the board won't be appealing to a lot of people who play this type of teaser, the two-team six-point variety, is that usually, like, a lot of people try to capture both 3 and 7, so that would be, like, a 7.5-point favorite down to 1.5, or a 2.5-point dog up to 8.5. That's kind of like the legs that people try to identify, because 3 and 7 land the most often. This isn't, if you bet all of these, you're not just printing money at this point. Sportsbooks understand that these are valuable too, and they're charging you a little bit more than they used to make the bet. So just understand that, it's not like you've stumbled on something that no one else knows about. We're all trying to figure out how to use these to make valuable bets still. In terms of today, with the efficient markets, like you mentioned, or this weekend, I should say, if I had to make a two-team 6-point teaser, I think it would be Bills up from 1.5-2 to 7.5-8. So, like, Bills.
That's like the clear number one draft pick, right? That's the clear number one pick.
Well, it's funny because from a just what is the number, go through 3 and 7 up. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It is also a game, though, and it's worth noting, with a very, very, very high total with a lot of scoring opportunities expected. So generally, what I find to be really valuable are, like, rock fight game, like total of 40 or 39, and a small dog or a small favorite, or a touch, 7.5-point favorite, using the 6-pointers in those, because there's not going to be many scoring chances. There's not going to be many red zone opportunities. So less volatility. You told me the Chiefs won this game by 10, like 42-32 or something. Would I be super surprised by that, where I lose the Bills like the teaser? Of course not. But again, so if I had to play one, Bills up, I think makes the most sense, like, numerically, and then probably Rams up. And it's like, oh, well, what if it's three, and be like, that's still probably my second favorite leg of any of these.
I agree.
And so, Rams 8.5-9 and Bills 7.5 would probably be where I would go. I don't want to tease the totals a whole, and in general, teasing totals doesn't get you as much for the 6 points like it would getting 3 and 7 with an NFL side. And then my last note would just be, if you're thinking about teasing, like, well, I want to put the Titans in because I don't want to lay the 3.5, or I want to put the Packers in because I don't want to lay 5 or 5.5. You'd be much better served in those situations just literally betting the team's money line to win the game. So when I don't think people fully flesh this out, when you make a two-team 6-point teaser, you're basically putting two bets together, and each one of them, basically, you're laying like -290, I think it is, or -280 on that outcome to happen. Yeah, the Packers and Titans are both way less than that just to win their games. So, like, if you want to do a teaser, great. But if you want to tease the Packers and the Titans because you just want them to win, or you want to make it like a less risky bet, just either parlay the two of them to win or just bet them to win. Just bet them on the money line. Like, you're laying a little bit more, but you're getting so much more for your money than trying to tease like through zero and get the ones and stuff like that. These half points just don't matter a whole lot, and they're just almost never going to land. Zero literally is never going to land in an NFL playoff game. So just a couple things to keep in mind, like strategically, if you're trying to play around with some of the options at your particular sports book.
All right, let's give you some strategic ways to try and play props in both of today's games, Bengals and Titans, Niners and Packers in this game, David Dykstra, of whatever you prefer.
You can choose this.
Whatever,
you can choose that. It's time for whatever you prefer.
The real ones, the you betters, will recognize the two voices in that open, aside from mine. Tyler Morales, the great Tyler Morales, with us today, and of course our pal, the legendary Bill Matz. All right, we will start with the Bengals and the Titans, Ken, and we'll do offense by offense here. So we'll start with Cincy. I will read off all like the notable props and what their yardage totals are, etc. Joe Burrow, 280.5 passing yards. Joe Mixon, 60.5 rushing yards. Jamar Chase, 79.5 receiving yards. All these numbers, by the way, courtesy of BetRivers, obviously. T. Higgins, 64.5 receiving yards after his dud last week against the Raiders. Tyler Boyd, 46.5 receiving yards. Joe Mixon, 21.5 receiving yards. And C.J. Uzomah, who's got tons of targets recently, but gets the Titans tight end stopper safety Kevin Byard in this game at 33.5. Any of these numbers stand out to you for the Cincinnati Bengals?
I think the interesting stuff to keep in mind is the Titans have had a little trouble with downfield pass plays, explosive pass plays. Now, the team has not been comprised with this set of players on offense or defense, like collectively together the entire year. So I don't know how much we can use season long stuff, but you know, you figure the Burrow pass offense should have some success. The interesting numbers to me and the interesting numbers to most people are going to be, well, I want to play Burrow over and Chase over. And like, they're just going to keep connecting for lots of explosive plays down the field. And that's possible. But one thing we also know about the Raiders is they basically play the same coverage every single time and refuse to deviate in any meaningful way. And they were kind of a poorly coached team the entire year. Watch the playoff game last week and tell me you don't think they're a poorly coached team based on the decisions that were made. With a week off to prepare, you have to think he's somewhat aware of what's going on in this game and the connection between those two players. So it's a big Chase number. It's a pretty big Burrow number too, but it's especially a big Chase number. Just like understand that the Raiders game may not be a predictor of what we're necessarily going to see in terms of like the relationship between those two players.
And I'm not advocating an under on Jamar Chase. I would never bet the under. But again, as Ken just told you, that is a huge number. That he could go for 160 and three touchdowns. Like, he's awesome.
Burrow's against anybody,
awesome.
He could go for 160 and three touchdowns.
Right.
But just consider the opponent. Yeah.
You know, Evan Silva from Establish the Run, like, I think he's the fantasy football GOAT, came on our show on a Phenomenal Football Friday yesterday. And like, he advocated for T. Higgins having a monster game here. Higgins was a dud last week against the Raiders. Higgins number to me personally, and not again, Chase could go over. Higgins 64.5 over would be more appealing to me than Jamar Chase over 79.5 receiving yards. Let's move to Tennessee quickly here. Ryan Tannehill, passing yards 237.5, also 15.5 rushing yards. Derrick Henry returns, and it is a rushing prop of 80.5 for the big dog Derrick Henry. AJ Brown, 74.5 receiving yards. Julio, 46.5. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 26.5. Henry, 11.5 receiving yards. Firkser, 19.5. Swaim, 11.5. Anything stand out to you here with the Titans offense?
Yeah, a couple things. I think of the four teams we're going to talk about offensively that play today, this is the one that has the most volatility in terms of what our expectation will be versus what they will actually do, because it's worth noting again that this collection of players offensively together has not played together since week 8. There were 18 weeks in the regular season. We had a wild card round last week. So trying to make numbers, set numbers in the market for what each player, how each player is going to be used for Tennessee is much more of a guess, I think, than how each player is going to be used for the other teams in this game. Not a strategy situation, more of just like a, we haven't seen this in a very long time. So what are our expectations? So I think what you would ask yourself is, all right, is any number in the market like making a big expectation or making an assumption about what we're going to see that's different from like a baseline? And my question would be, and I understand there's some volatility here, Derrick Henry traditionally has lined more than this in like all-in situations, right?
I'll just tease this right now, like Prop King segment coming up right. Next segment on You Better. I have the Derrick Henry over. It's already up to 83.5. I played it this morning at 80.5. I feel like you should be 95.5.
We've seen him typically lined in games where he's expected to get a very, very large workload.
Over 100
90s,
sometimes.
100s. Right, yeah, exactly. So is there an assumption being made in the market about any part of Tennessee's offense? Yes, there's an assumption being made that Derrick Henry is less valuable this week than he has been in any game that he has played so far this year. That's an assumption. We don't know that that's true. We don't know how many carries he's going to get. They're also playing in a game where they're favored and expected to be running the ball in the second half as a result of being favored. So like, I'm not saying like I think Derrick Henry's going to be awesome. I'm looking for a situation where an assumption is being made by the market that has no evidence behind it. There's an assumption about Derrick Henry's number because he has a plate in his foot. We have no idea how he's going to perform today. I have no idea. But they're going to make an assumption. I'm going to play against the assumption. So if they're going to line him lower as a result of not knowing something, I'm going to be like, all right, cool. I'll take the over then, because now we're at one extreme in terms of how he can be lined. So I agree with you. I think the Henry over makes a ton of sense.
I might just have to play the Tennessee team total over for the game. I like Tannehill's over passing yards. I've been talking about Julio Jones all week. That number's moved 8 yards over the course of the last like 96 hours here. 46.5. I mean, he looked awesome in week 18. 10 targets, 5 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown. So Julio would be a guy I would target on the Tennessee offense. You better, you bets countdown to kickoff. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you on the BetQL Network divisional rounds of the NFL postseason. The show is on Twitter at You Better You Bet, presented by the Bet River Sportsbook. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Check us out weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the aforementioned BetQL Network. To the night game, 49ers and the Packers, and we will begin with the San Francisco 49ers offense. Jimmy's cold. To be fair, I guess everyone's going to be. Garoppolo, 228.5 passing yards. Elijah Mitchell, who's like the only running back for the Niners that gets snaps. Debo gets carries, but he's a wide receiver, so semantic people, don't come at me. Mitchell, 81.5 rushing yards. Debo, 38.5 rushing yards. These are all receiving yards props now. Ayuk, 50.5. Jawan Jennings, 26.5. Kyle Juszczyk, 9.5. George Kittle, 52.5. Elijah Mitchell, 9.5. And Debo Samuel, 53.5.
I would kind of bring back the same form of analysis that we had before, and I would apply it to Debo rushing yards, and not using the same theory. Like, Henry was hurt and now he's coming back. Debo wasn't injured and is returning. But with both Debo and Josh Allen running the ball, I think the idea that every game will look different than the previous game, and he'll be more involved in that particular part of the offense. So with Debo rushing and Josh Allen rushing, I think that's definitely the case. As the stakes of the games become more important, you don't have the same qualms about risking the health of a player who's like very, very impactful. Like, this is why you save these guys to do these things, the things that they're very good at. We saw Debo have 10 rushes last week, killed the Cowboys in a bunch of situations, 81 yards, I think was his final number, and scored a touchdown. If anything, it's the same workload or more. The game couldn't be more impactful. Like, you're not saving him for next week because you might lose and be eliminated. So I think with these two players specifically, so Debo in this game, I think like the numbers being set kind of with some residue of end of the regular season. This is still a half season new thing that he's even running the ball. So the numbers are still kind of catching up to what's going to happen. Right.
He might be the best pure football player in the league. He's awesome.
It's one of the most bizarre prop markets I've seen, like a rushing market for a receiver that we have a lot of data points on now, and we're trying to make numbers. Like, this doesn't happen very
often. It was like a top 10 running back in football and a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and by the way, he's got a great arm when he throws the football as well. He's amazing.
Called himself a wide back in an interview. Basically, they were like, well, what do you consider? I mean, just amazing. So I think this is a situation where we're all still catching up, and his usage is actually only going to increase, and the numbers can't catch up almost and be efficient in the market to what we could see in this game. Like, I mean, 10 to 12 carries, he's not going to go over that number. I think you see at least that many carries. Why wouldn't they choose to do that with the stakes of the game being what they are? So I think that's the attack point, at least for me.
Yeah, and I've got some attack points as far as the Niners passing game is concerned, and we'll talk about that in the Prop King segment coming up next on You Better You Bet. But let's finish this segment talking about the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers passing yards, 265.5. Aaron Jones didn't play in week 18. Aaron Jones, so well rested, 50.5 rushing yards. AJ Dillon, 39.5 rushing yards. These are all receiving numbers. Devontae, 93.5. Randall Cobb back in the lineup, 26.5. DeGuara, the tight end, 18.5. Dillon, 8.5. Lazard, 41.5. And Mercedes Lewis, 8.5, with Marquez Valdes-Scantling unlikely to play in the game, doubtful on the injury report.
Yeah, I mean, two attack points here, potentially. I think just solving these problems might help you make valuable bets, because we do have some volatility here because of injury and because of just expectation at the running back position. So the first is, where does Valdes-Scantling's usage go? Where do his receptions go? Where do his targets go? How does the Packers offense look different with him not on the field and with Randall Cobb back for some amount of snaps? We don't know how many snaps it's going to be. Like, that, like, solving that could create a valuable bet, because it's a tough thing to price. We don't really know what the result is going to be. Whereas some other teams, I think we have a good idea where the targets are going to go. This is one where we don't. So trying to solve that, I think, is interesting. And then the second thing is the same thing with the Packers every time. How is Jones' usage going to differ from Dillon's usage? And Nick, I know you had a theory kind of about how that's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones didn't play in Week 18. A.J. Dillon did in a meaningless game, which I think tells me, not that A.J. Dillon can't or won't be involved. I'm sure he will be, like, especially if they're ahead in the second half. But, I mean, I think, like, the Packers think Aaron Jones is the more valuable running back. He's certainly more versatile, and I love A.J. Dillon. Like, I have A.J. Dillon in every dynasty league that I'm in, and I'm in a lot of fantasy football leagues. I love A.J. Dillon. I just think the Packers like Aaron Jones better. So, personally, Ken, I would be more apt to play an Aaron Jones rushing yards over than I would to play an A.J. Dillon over. I also think the Niners are live in the game, so I think that really portends more for Jones than it does for A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, we've seen the Packers offense, we've seen Rodgers so many times, but because of the Valdez-Scantling injury, like, yeah, could be some prop opportunity in this game where lines are just, it's tough to set them appropriately when we don't totally know what to expect from this team's offense.
Maybe Alan Lazard gets some more opportunities. Maybe Randall Corn on the Cobb.
See what you did there.
So lame. Corn on the Cobb is delicious, though.
This horn is great.
Well, this, yeah, this is NFL.
This is like a chase scene. It. We're chasing to the finish.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. On the other side, we will chase to the finish with a flourish here. Best bet, side and total for both games today. Giving props, our thoughts on how you can win $2,000 in the free-to-play contest. And then thy royal prop king makes thou royal appearance to close the show. You better you bets. Countdown to kickoff on the BetQL Network right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.